All right, John and Amy here, back again with just messages that bubble up. And this morning, we were just really thinking about the power of choice and the question about asking people for advice. Should we do it? Is it our highest? If you really stop to think about this, it's really interesting concept, because everybody is at their own level of understanding and their own paradigm. They see things a little differently. Even though we're one in spirit, we have this conditioning of our upbringing and the choices that are forced on us and the ones that we make according to that conditioning. And if we're not allowing change, then we can have certain preferences and then force them on someone else, or we deliver those when asked. So for example, Amy and I were at a seafood restaurant, and we were splurging a little bit on our cheat day, and we asked the waiter there, and I'll let Amy explain it here, because this is an interesting thing. Have you ever done this? Sat at a restaurant and you asked the waiter, well, what would you choose?
And yeah.
Interesting. What happened?
So yeah, we were having a little splurge cheat day. You guys know us; we're usually pretty clean eaters, but you know, hey, every once in a while, you want to go play. It's great contrast, you know, because afterwards we're like, oh, I think we like what we're doing better, you know, eating at a higher way. But what happened in our moment here? We ordered. We just wanted to try their local grouper fish sandwich. We just split it. And it came on rye, and we want, you know, we love sourdough, you know, if we ever do have it, we do love sourdough. And that's what we really wanted. So we asked the waiter, well, do you have sourdough? He goes, yeah. But so then I said,
I like the rye.
Yeah.
He goes, I like the rye.
But I like the rye with it. I like it how it comes. So what did we do? We overrode what we like. And chose to go with what he likes. Now, why is that?
And it didn't turn out as well as we thought.
Exactly. And the whole time, see, we overrode what was coming up as our highest inside, what we felt like. And how many times do we do this in life where we the first thing we see, like a piece of clothing, and we really like it, but what do? We ask our friend or we ask somebody else, well, what do you think about this, you know? And we don't ever stop to think that they're going to see what they like and they're going to tell you what they like, unless they really know you well. I mean, when it comes to advice, I think the best advice you could ever give somebody is to ask them a question that helps them discover.
Right.
That would be the wise counsel. But if you're just asking somebody, even how many times do people ask strangers, hey, what do you think of this? You know, what do you think of this clothing, or what do you think of this restaurant? And it's good to ask locals. Like we asked, well, where's the best, you know, fresh caught seafood?
Yeah, but even that, it's all choices. And then you wind up being disappointed.
Because they have an opinion, or their palate, their food palate's at a different place than your food palate. So what's amazing to them is like, you know, fast food, greasy junk to you. And you're just like, oh gosh, you know? And so it's so important to really stay true and follow your path inside. Still you can ask for advice, but again, gauge it. It's like we were at Trader Joe's, and the guy out of the blue's telling us about, oh yeah, you ought to try this Italian restaurant, this other Italian. We like, you know, fresh salads and,
yeah, we don't really do Italian much anymore. We used to be.
We used to. But again, contrast, right? The journey, you start waking up and your body starts craving the more living, healthy foods, the more you advance in that. But it's interesting.
Yeah. So think about it. Think about this when it comes to spiritual advice. There's a lot to be said about this too, but you have the practical, right? You know, where's the best restaurant, and you know, where should I take the kids on this adventure, you know, here in this state or whatever. Everybody's going to have a different viewpoint. That's common sense, right? But when it comes to spiritual things, you definitely have paradigms and boundaries where people are like, don't come in my sandbox. This is with your new revelation, or don't attack our traditions here because this is how we've done it for decades or generations. And the problem with that is, like, Jesus, when he came onto the scene, he just flipped everything on its head. It's an upside down kingdom where people are like, this is the way we've done it, Jesus. Don't mess with this.
Don't rock the boat,
because that would mean that the control is slipping out of my hands, or this is the way we've done it, and we don't want anything changed, because that would mean I would have to lose my old story,
right,
or I would have to change, and I don't want to change. The best way to approach this is to remain changeable all the time, constantly.
Which requires being conscious
and aware and awakened throughout the day. Meaning, I am, when I wake up in the morning, okay, I'm taking the posture of flexibility, being flexible like the palm tree in the winds of change. You're not going to get uprooted. No, you're going to get more rooted when you're like a palm tree, so to speak, because you're allowing the spirit to take you in safety. See, the safest place to be is allowing the spirit to take the change and change it in you. Your unchangeable ways and your egoic stance saying, I don't want to change. I don't want to change. I hate change. How many times have you said that? How many times have you said, I hate change? Well, that's an egoic statement from your ego saying,
from fear, saying,
I don't want to look stupid, or I'm comfortable here. I don't like it. But if you know anything by now, you know that the spirit world is always changing you, or wanting to change you, because we take a stand in our understanding to say, this is the way it is. And when we do that from our conditioning, we're speaking from our conditioning, then something has to happen to get us to uproot out of that stance, if in fact we're willing to grow and to mature. And our spirit always waxing strong in spirit, that's a constant, right? Because we're eternal beings. But it's constantly speaking to our outer person, change, 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 grow, 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 mature, mature. But our outer realm of the egoic soul nature is saying, I don't want to, because change is painful. It's not painful to your spirit. It's painful to the ego because it has to detach.
Yeah, and it has to, you know, be vulnerable. And it's just that fear of being incompetent and losing control. I mean, you guys know, right? The list could go on. But, you know, back to this whole thing of asking people for advice. And of course, you know, we could throw out all the scripture of, you know, ask for wise counsel and all that, which is good. Definitely ask for wise counsel. But I think, you know, remember what Jesus said, you have no need that any man teach you. And what he's trying to bring us up into the maturity of is us going within and following the leads and prompts and not overriding it, not negating it. Gone are the days, and this is what's happening with all the systems being rearranged, changed, all your life churned up,
dismantled,
is all the things we've reached for on the outside, relationships, anything, to be our source of security because we couldn't trust ourselves because we weren't trusting the voice of the Lord leading us. That's all being flipped, and he's calling us all up higher to follow that inner voice, follow the leads and prompts, follow what's calling to you in the moment. What's your highest excitement? Because that's going to be yours, not somebody else's. Hey, what if you ask this, you know, waiter or this other person, stranger walking down the street, and they're in a horrible mood, and you're asking them for advice on something? They'd be like, nah, try this place, whatever, you know? And so it's, you're putting your life in somebody else's hands and experience. And again, you know, if you're looking for local spots or whatever, and you're wanting to get a general consensus, do that. But let your final decision be, okay, Lord, what do you think about this? Holy Spirit, what feels the lightest? What feels the best? Which path should I go? Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be divine appointments too. So the other night we went out with some family friends, and it was the right time, right spot, right place, because we ended up ministering to the waiter there and just speaking into her life.
And we would have, if we had our choice, we probably went to another place.
Right.
But because we all kind of had a consensus here, okay, let's go here because there's another reason. And that's a good point, is when you follow your highest, it may be a place you don't like, but you're being positioned there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it doesn't do it much good to ask somebody and go with their opinion, because it could be a contradiction of where the Spirit's leading you.
Exactly. Where they can say, oh no, there's a better place to go. Go to this other place, because that's where the best, you know, the best food or the best farm to table, whatever it is. But if the Lord, the Lord's leading you, or somebody else chose another spot, then you got to go with that. Leads and prompts.
Yeah, that's right. I had a guy that I really respected years ago tell me that very thing. It stuck with me all these years. He said, look, it all boils down to just following the leads and prompts. And if you read my book that I wrote, Effortless Provision, you see it's got a funny little analogy in there about prompting. And, read it if you haven't. It's really cool. But we all have our own prompting mechanisms in us according to our path, our journey, and it doesn't look like anybody else's. So I can't tell you how many times we've looked online and we've watched the threads about somebody saying, hey guys, I'm excited, I'm moving to I'm moving to Missouri, or I'm moving to Texas or Florida. And then everybody jumps on the bandwagon that thinks that they really know them, even family members, and says, no, you can't move, or don't move to that state, or why would you go there? They have they have alligators and snakes, or why would you move to Texas? They have big mosquitoes that'll carry your babies off into the Amazon or whatever. Can't move to Mexico because everybody gets killed there, right, Cliff and Penny? You know, so it's like, we have friends that go down there a lot, and they have a blast. Anyway, we and then everybody jumps on. And if you don't know who you are, if you don't follow your highest, what you're going to do? You're going to succumb to all the common denominator in that thread, of fear that says, "Oh, don't move there. You don't want to move. How could you ever leave? Why would you leave me? You can't leave me." And mom's on the thread, and dad's on the thread, and cousins on, and you're like, okay, I guess I better not follow my highest. I'll just sit right here. And see, people that, and we've done this too, guys, we're all, quote, guilty of this, where we ask for advice because we're not sure. And then you wind up more confused. You ever notice that? You wind up more confused because not everybody's going to agree with your move or your choice of restaurant. Here's another one, relationships, right? So the girl, she comes home, she's 21. She goes, I met the man of my dreams at college. And then mom and dad are sitting there just ripping her upside down. Well, wait a minute, you need to focus on your education. You need to focus. We paid a lot of money for this. You need to get through your nursing school. And she's just like, but I think he's the one. Never mind.
It was Richard Branson.
Yeah. Yeah. Owns, right.
Owns his own island.
Exactly. What if it's the guy whose dad who owns a 100,000 medical clinics, and she's going into the medical? We don't know. We just don't know these things. This is why we have our own GPS. We have our own compass that says this is the way. Walk in it. Now, like Amy said, if there's a general consensus, then you can match that with your consensus inside of the three in one, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit inside of you, the Godhead. And it's like, okay, is this the way?
Is that resonating? Is that an agreement?
Yeah. And like we've always said, is it heavy or is it light in what you're about to do? Does it feel heavy? Does it feel confused? As opposed to, I'm a little bit fearful, but I know it's my highest. I can sense that there's something light and free about this, even though it's a little bit scary. It's kind of like learning how to do something that intimidates you for the first time, but you know inside this is what you're supposed to learn, right? Or you're guided to learn. And then you're like, oh man, I'm so glad I took the step. I'm so thankful. I took it and leaped over the edge, you know?
Yeah. And another thing I know you guys are aware of too, is the, just the generational gap of understanding. And so you've got the older generation that is very corporate mindset, you know, mechanical, corporate, sameness. Everybody's got to do the same thing, right? The whole, you need to work till you're, you know, 40 years in, get your retirement. And they try to impose that on the next generation who are, you know, innovative, and they're entrepreneurs, and they're not going to do your 9-to-5 work till you're 60 and retire type job. They're inventing. And so this battle of shame, you know, having to deal with the shame of the prior generation, putting that on the next generation of innovators is really challenging. And this is where you have to follow that inner leading. Anybody that did anything great, they always defied the odds. They went, you know, the Wright brothers, the just every one of them. You'll hear story after story of them being led by an inner voice and those leads and prompts, and, you know, and not the naysayers and not those that couldn't see it yet as they could see it. That's why it's so important to be authentically you. Nobody else has your path. Nobody else has your fingerprint. It's your unique puzzle piece. And you try to go and be anybody else's, they're going to see from different angles, and it's not going to match the angle you're called to fit yourself in. So it's you and God, you and God, your journey together.
Yeah, this is so good, you guys, because, you know, I'm just prompted right now to, somebody's listening to this and you've got a decision about your location to think about, or you've been dwelling on. You're like, it's really been frustrating for you because advice will come from this way and that way, and you know what your gut is telling you, but yet there's fear involved. You're calculating the finances, and the analytical side is almost winning out. Here's what's worked for us, and it's been an experiment in the making, right? We call it our effortless provision experiment between us, Amy and I, and we watch how this unfolds. It's growth, it's maturing, and the paradigm shifts, because we've been so conditioned in, especially in America, to believe that it has to be through hard work, and yes, everything has to be hard, laborious, you know, and sweat and toil, because if not, we're not a man. Or
that's what Bible says. Yeah, sin.
Exactly. So, you know, to somebody listening about your decision geographically, and you don't have a lot of money. I remember what's being brought up when Amy was sharing was the first time we went to Hawaii. You know, we had never been there, but we knew in our heart that we needed to go spy out the land. We just wanted to, and it was our highest.
A move, not just a vacation. Yeah, a move.
So what happened was, is we never even visited. We didn't go there to check it out. We didn't spy it out. We just said, if we're going to do this, let's just do it. We didn't have anything to, quote, lose. You know, it was just Amy and I, but we didn't have a lot of money. We packed our 4 suitcases and gave away the rest, sold some things, and we went to the Big Island. And the first thing we did, though, was we looked for a place ahead of time. We found something through YWAM, and a couple had a little ohana there, that little place connected to theirs, mm-hmm, that we rented, and it was decent enough money. But we didn't have jobs. We just wanted to go in faith. Well, yeah, we could have did some things differently, but that's where you grow and you learn. But the point of this is, and it did work out.
Yeah, you always wanted to work with the dolphins.
I wanted to work with the dolphins. I worked with the trainers with the dolphins there, Dolphin Quest. And we could have remained. We stayed for a few months, and then we left.
Yeah, stayed for the winter, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the winter, 6 months or whatever. So the point being is, could we have stayed? Of course. We could have stayed as long as we wanted. But it was an experiment for us to see that, first of all, we could have done things more at rest, but we weren't mature enough at that time. We didn't have the awareness at the time to just do things with rest, do it with joy, do it with, you know, no anxiety attached. But when you're maturing when you're waxing strong in spirit, your ego is going to try to lead. right? It's going to try to lead the way and lie to you and say that, well, it's not going to work out. We're fearful and things aren't going my way. And why is all this hardness happening? And whenever there's a challenge that rises in front of you, the point is to follow your highest regardless. And your highest, what makes you excited the most in your spirit, in your core.
Right.
There's a difference between that and then your ego being excited. One will actually be of service and cause you to grow and to mature and learn something new possibly. And then the other one is self-serving. The other side of the coin, your egoic nature is self-serving and it wants it its way. It wants to take its stand and it won't be of service so much as your spirit will. So both will have excitement. They will reveal themselves as excitement, but you want to allow the ego to take the back seat and then listen to what the spirit's excitement is saying. Okay, is my spirit excited about this? Is the real me excited about this? Is this my highest? And then you keep following that until there's a dead end. And then
the grace lifts
and then you wait and then you respond only when the next thing reveals itself.
It's like surfing the waves. In
excitement. Yes, like surfing the waves. You wait for the next set.
You ride the first wave. Yep. Now you recover.
Exactly.
But you're still in the water. You're still aware and you're still feeling for the next one to come. You don't just stop and say, yeah, okay. You know.
Yeah. And to the person listening to this, that this is for, could be more than one. This is your challenge, is should I go and move to this place because of money and the lack thereof? And friends and family and relatives are all saying, yay, go there. That kind of thing. Or are you going because your spirit is leading you regardless of cost, regardless of whether there's an opportunity or not? Because we found one thing is that when it's your highest and you go by the leads and the prompts of your spirit, things show up around you when you get there. And even on the way there, you'll have many, many confirmations.
Yeah, things will open up and provision will happen. It's effortless provision will happen because you're in alignment. When you're not in alignment and you make a move out of reason and logic and for the money, it's hard. It's a hard path and you're struggling for everything and trying to make everything happen and force everything. And you split energy inside you. So then you plummet, you hit depression. It's just, there's no energy or juice. You're divided because you've cut off your heart flow and you just gone into your head and past experiences and you're letting that lead and it will never satisfy because you'll continue to keep dreaming about where you really want to be and where your heart keeps leading you. There's a path. And this is the thing, your body, your heart, your spirit knows your path, your life script. And so that's why it's so important to override your mind and keep following that path. And know that provision is there. Know that the divine appointments, the people, the cooperative components will move and form around you if you're intentional to just keep taking the next step in that direction. You don't need to take a massive leap that's going to cost you everything, but take the next step in that heartfelt direction instead of the security and this is what everybody says I should do and oh, my family's here though, I need to stay here for my family, all this reason and logic in your mind. You will live in torment because you're not being true to you or your heart or your spiritual path of what God is calling you to. There's a divine detachment in place that needs to happen.
Yeah, and one major indicator that God is leading you into. See, we don't have to do anything. Love does not demand its own way. It's our egoic nature that does that in our family, our kids, grandkids, whatever. It's the egoic nature in them and the love that they have for you. You know, it's kind of a mixture that says you have to do it this way. But, you know, when you really get to know the unconditional nature of love, the love agape inside, right? The Godhead inside. He leads beside still waters. It's the ego that makes the noise, right? but our spirit, the wisdom that comes from within and above, deep within the eternal realm of the now inside of us, is first of all pure. It's unclouded. It's unconfused. Then it's gentle, right? The wisdom that comes from above is peaceable. It's pure. It's gentle. And gentle means not forced, where the egoic nature wants to force. You ever notice that? The wisdom that's internal inside the eternal now is stillness. It's peaceable. It's sure. It's unclouded. And it leads us beside still waters. Why? Because in still waters, there's a mirror reflection, and you begin to see the reflection of the oneness that's leading. So think about this, to those that are listening that are making this decision or just facing a decision right now about like location and just all the things that we've been talking about. What is calling to you right now? What is the open door or the opportunity? What is the overtaking? And remember, when somebody is asking you to come to a certain area, there's part of you that may be like, I don't really want to go to that place because I like the cold weather. I don't want to go to someplace hot, or I don't want to go to the desert. I like the tropics. This isn't about preference so much as it is the highest. Remember, if you're being invited into something and it's more of a gentleness to it, there's more of a stillness to it, there's more of a joy, there's a favor there, even the smallest things to the biggest. You have to pay attention to that if you're following the leads and the prompts. Because remember, the wisdom that comes from above is more prompting than forcing. It's a leading, it's a guiding, it's a beside the still waters.
Yeah, it's the good counsel.
It's the great counsel from within and the eternal now. So pay attention to that. Who's inviting you into what? Is it somebody trying to force you into a box and go to this place or stay here? Or, no, you can't leave me. You won't see my graduation in high school. Well, that's not for another 10 years. Well, yeah, that's right. You're going to miss all my baseball games. You're going to miss the soccer games. You're going to, grandpa, grandma, you know, or mom or dad, whatever the case may be, or brother or sister, you're going to miss all this. What is that? First of all, they love you, right? But then there's a mixture. There's an egoic thing that says, you can't do that. You have to be here for me. You have to stay here for me. Well, how selfish is that? Well, we know that that's the egoic nature. It's selfish. So there's a mixture, of course. But bottom line is, somebody that really loves you would say, hey, you know what? I get it. You have to follow God. Yeah. You know, follow your highest. Do whatever. I know that I'll be taken care of, or I know that I'll see you again, or we can always have FaceTime. That's what technology is for now, you guys. So anyway, who is it and what is it that's inviting you into something right now that feels peaceable, even though it may be a little scary or your preferences may not be there so much? I can't tell you how many times this has happened to us. And, you know, We do contracting, and it's not really who we are, but we do it because it's the next thing that shows up in front of us. We do that and we do this. So we do contracting work and the property management kind of thing, and it takes us to many different places. Well, we try to follow our highest in that, you know, aside from doing this was which we really love. And so it's all a growth process, you guys. We just try to follow our highest. Yep. And there's no condemnation if you miss it, right? Who's condemning you? Well, the ego might be condemning you, saying, look at you, loser. You lost everything and you look like a fool in front of people. Listen, that's just the egoic nature. That's not the spirit. The spirit's going to invite and lead and guide and not shame. So yeah, I really think that's for somebody that has this decision before them. And remember, it's like Michael Singer said in the Surrender Experiment book, great book, by the way, if you pick it up, we've mentioned it before, but he became a billionaire by surrendering to what was in front of him that was good, you know, but he didn't have preferences like, oh, I don't feel like doing that.
Other than wanting to stay in his cabin and just meditate the rest of his life.
Yeah, and that's what he wanted to do, is just stay in his cabin.
But God was telling him, stay open to what comes in your path and say yes.
That's right. And so it's an amazing story, but it's like that, right? It's if we have preferences and we demand to have that preference, that's where we get into stuckness.
Yeah, and it really all comes down to, you know, the more connected you are with listening to the Lord, the easier that your path will be internally. No matter what, you know, you're going into the unknown on the outside, it's just to have that internal peace is priceless. And just being led, because he knows what you need for the next journey. He's trying to answer your desires you put in years ago. It's trying to bring you into them now, but you can't see it because all you know is a past experience or your current preferences. And little do you know, you're going to meet a divine appointment at this next place you didn't even consider. And so again, it's really making it your highest to know God's voice, so that when he says, yes, this is the direction I want you to go, you know that voice and you can step into it. Even though if you're afraid or excited or, you know, just anticipating, oh my gosh, you know, it'll still go a lot better for you. And just even in the whole packing scenario, I know for us, because we've moved and a lot, lived a lot of different places, you know, been to Hawaii, lived on the four main islands there. And there's been so many times when the Lord told me, just take what you need. And my reason and logic would kick in, no, I need to bring this and I need to bring that because it's more expensive to buy over there and all these different things. And so then my suitcases would be filled to the max. Then the effortless was just take what you need, because once we got over there, we end up getting a furnished unit, and that had all the things I needed in it. Yeah. Or we get
and more.
Or we get favor where somebody come by, hey, do you think you could use this? And it was the very thing I'd asked the Lord for. You know, it's just his provision. We put him in such a box of his provision can only be financial. You know, when he's got all the cooperative components and people that bring what you need along, or you walk into a consignment shop or, you know, and there's the item right there that you wanted for an amazing price. And, but we've seen this happen so many times. And so I've really learned when the Lord says, just take what you need. And then if you bring the extras, you end up having to get rid of them when you leave, because he wanted to just bring what you need. And now you're going to have to get rid of them in your new place. And so it's pretty interesting. So important just to follow the leads and prompts and what he's saying.
Yeah. And then I really feel like we need to do a whole series on that. There's some juice on that right there about, you know, taking what you need and then watching the wants show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot to be said about that, which we'll share more on. But this part about advice, taking advice from people, and we'll just wrap it up here
in a few.
Obviously we can go on and on. But for time's sake, it's like, okay, so the advice. Think about this. Sometimes the advice can be adding the A-D. A vice grip, V-I-C-E, someone adding their vice grip to you, meaning that they're going to put you in a hold. Out of their fear that maybe was never meant to be, right? You put a pair of vice grips on something. It's a challenge sometimes to get that off, if you know what I mean. So you want to watch what's added to your life, what's being added to your life, regardless of what it's going to cost you. In relationships, in opinions, in people thinking crazy stuff about you, when you follow your highest, it's never going to make sense to the intellect. You got to get this, you guys.
Yeah.
It will never make sense to the reason and the logic that your mind and your ego are siding with each other. They're coupling together saying, you don't want to do that. If you do that, it's not going to work out, or that's crazy. Why would you ever think about... See... Why is that? Because our brain and our mind have been conditioned to believe certain patterns and certain things that contradict the predictability of the spirit. It's only unpredictable to the ego, but it makes perfect order and perfect sense to the spirit. Did you ever notice that?
Yes.
So it's chaotic to the conditioning because it's trying to break up the fallow ground, so to speak, of the conditioning to get it to side with the spirit. So when the egoic nature finally relents and gets in the back seat and says, okay, I'm going to let you drive. I don't like this, but I'm going to finally let you drive. And then none of us like a backseat driver, right? Why is that? Because if you know where you're going, so to speak, in the natural driving, and you've got a backseat driver that's never been there and doesn't know where they're going, but they have to give their 2 cents, or they want to give their 2 cents just because of their conditioning. You ever been there? It's like, dude, I've been here before. I don't need you to remind me to turn left or turn right or put on the brakes or watch out for the car in front of me or watch out for the ride. You know, the ego just yakking its head off and you're like, wait a minute. I've been there 100 times. See, that's like the spirit saying,
yes.
I have been there. I'm eternal. I know where I'm going. I'm just giving you road signs of your highest excitement, your highest thrill, your highest joy, enjoyment, being in joy. I'm trying to get you to side with being in joy.
Yes. So that's where faith is.
Yeah, it's our strength of faith. The joy of the Lord is the strength of our faith. So it leads and it guides, but the ego is always yakking its head off like a backseat driver. Just remember that.
Yes.
And if you side with it, you're going to keep going around this monstrosity of a mountain, digging huge trenches
confusion.
In it.
Confusion.
Of confusion, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's, again, this is where we're at right now. I really believe in the earth right now is just coming into this place of maturity. And of course, it's probably, you know, of course, it's been going on for decades and decades. It's just maybe right where you are right now of learning to come into this maturity of truly following and trusting the leads and prompts within you and giving it permission, giving yourself permission to follow it so that you can start building that confidence versus, oh, I've got to call a bunch of people and ask their advice and then gather the general consensus and then hope that I make the right choice. And then I can blame them all and not have to take responsibility because
right.
I just did what they told me to do and it didn't work out. So now I don't have to feel my own responsibility.
Pray for me,
Irene. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so again, it's so important. We just encourage you to follow what you know God is pulling you into inside. And I just want to give one last example here of, you know, when John and I met, you know, I had my own ideas of what I was looking for in a husband. And
boy, did she.
And it was all I knew, right? I was thinking, I might marry somebody even younger than me or, you know, my own maturity.
John Mayer.
You know.
Say what you need to say.
You only see in part. You don't know what you need. And it's always so important to marry somebody that matches you or is actually higher, going higher than you, not lower, that's going to pull you down. So anyway, so I meet John, right? We met in that Christian bookstore. It was a bookstore, you know, that had a lot of the old time books about all the amazing miracle stories and stuff. It's not your typical Christian bookstore. But anyway, so a lot of you guys heard our story, how we met, but it was just total divine connection. The Lord led us. John was following the leads and prompts to ask me. I was looking for a book there, and the guy working there wasn't helping me. He's just like, I'm like wondering, is this guy even saved? He was miserable, you know? But John was on the other side overhearing, and the Lord prompted him to come over and ask for my address because he had the book I was looking for. And just the day before that, a couple days before that, he had given up. He's like, Lord, I'm done looking for a wife. I'll be single with you the rest of my life. He released the resistance, right? And so now he's just an open flow. But he had to trust God's voice inside. And at first he's like, oh, that's the devil talking to me, you know, to go talk to her. I just gave up wanting a wife.
Yeah, because of a bad relationship.
Right. So now his reason and logic is warring with him. But thank the Lord, he knew the Lord's voice enough to come around and talk to me.
One prompt. And we're going to do a message on that too. One prompt. The one prompt that changed the world.
It's like the one-two punch with karate.
It is, because how many times that one prompt we could have missed out on a major thing. No condemnation,
still
but
small voice.
God will bring it around again. But man, think of the things that we
miss.
Allow ego to drown out through reason, logic, fear, all of those things. When that one prompt could have changed our life.
You had to step into the unknown and take the risk. And I am so glad he did. 21 years in now, and I tell you, we have the most precious marriage. We've been through crazy storms, you know, with just stuff on the outside and things we've journeyed through. But together, we have such a oneness and such a bond that God put together. I mean, it's just really unmatchable in so many ways.
It's like ice cold watermelon. On a
hot refreshing. But anyway, what I wanted to get to in this is that, so we end up, you know, hitting it off. He's talking to me, I was talking to him, divine connection. Our second phone call, you know, on the phone, God's like, this is your husband. And he had already told John when he saw me in the bookstore, this is your wife, you know. And so it was just divinely put together. And, but it didn't make sense. You know, he said,
a lot older,
13 years older than me.
Yeah.
And so again, reason and logic starts going in. Well, he's a lot older than me. That wasn't on my preference plan. And then, of course, then my parents, right? They're like, "How old is he?" And then, of course, all the people. I was in a pretty big church at the time, knew a lot of people, and had some really, you know, close mentoring friends, leaders, and they were all kind of suspicious. Who's this guy robbing the cradle, kind of thing, you know? And they
in their reason and logic.
And so here I'm just kind of innocent and really wanting to please them, trust their advice, but I knew God's voice, and I knew that this was a divine connection, because I kept asking God over and over. He goes, "No, this is me. Go forward in this relationship." Well, the people I trusted the most were like, "I don't know about this guy. You know, he wants something from you." And I mean, they were casting so much fear into my decision, and I was like, "This is wild." Even my most favorite Aunt Charlotte was. She was scared of John, like suspicious. And I think it was because it was so unknown for them too. Like, who's this guy that came out of the blue? You don't even know him. And I mean, we dated for 3 months and got engaged. You know, here we are engaged now after 3 months. But we knew that we knew. And so anyway, but again, see, it didn't make sense in the natural.
No.
And those closest to you are like, "Who is this? You know, this doesn't make sense. You need to wait." So, you know, go to marriage counseling, take your time, you know, till you really know. I'm so glad we didn't listen to that and we followed the Lord. And, you know, 6 months later, we got married. And it's just when you know, you know. And when God's leading you, it's just, you got to stay in that flow.
Yeah. And just that, you know, think about this. That's so good. Just that very statement, take your time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's break that down.
Doubting and believing.
Yeah, let's break that down for just a hot minute. Take your time. What they're saying is, they're talking to your ego. Ego talking to ego. Hey, take your time because of this, 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 and this. We're afraid. You never know what's going to happen.
They're all speaking out of their fear and their story, projecting it on you.
When in the spirit, there is no such thing as linear time.
Yeah.
Everything is quantum. So it can happen in a split second for you if you don't adopt the egoic theology.
And talk
the
yourself ego, out of it.
Egoology, not even theology.
Yeah.
Egoology. Egoology 101 says, take your time.
So you can talk yourself out
so
of it.
So you talk yourself
remain
out.
The same.
Remain small.
Like us.
Yeah, like all of the little egoic dwarfs running around. So if you think about it, you guys, we're living in such an amazing moment right now where this revelation is is really, it seems like it's coming accelerated, but that's just where the spirit realm is. It's, it seems accelerated because we're being broken out of the jail of conditioning. And when that's happening, it seems like acceleration, but the spirit's already accelerated. It's already living and dwelling and moving in quantum realities. Yes. It's, so it's just, we're just catching up here to, or waking up, we're awakening to the fact of reality that's always present. The present now is always living in these synchronistic quantum realities that can happen in a flash second.
That's right. So where's the delay?
Yeah.
I was wondering, why is this taking so long?
It's the conditioning.
It's your belief. It's however long, the distance of how long it's taking is however long you start believing and stop doubting. That's the distance. You can have it now. With Daniel, it was answered the moment he asked. It just took a little time, because the angels were having to come through the principalities or whatever to bring the stuff.
But maybe that's not even what it was.
Yeah, that could have just been a story. But anyway, but now in Christ, God can give stuff to you. It's a lot of times it's just our unbelief and doubting that's, not matching
exactly.
up. We're not matching up to what we're desiring a lot of times.
Yes.
So you got split energy and that's taking longer and longer because you got two trains going the opposite direction.
Yeah, okay, unless the matching up, man, we can just flow and we should do another one. But anyway, the matching up part, it doesn't have to be a preference, you guys, to see the match down the road. So just like Amy said, she had a preference. She had a what she thought was a match and a mate. Well, if it wound up being the exact match in her spirit, eventually it unfolded, right? So take that as an example of, okay, am I going to go move to this state because it's a preference and it's what I like, of what I know of my egoic self? Or is this maybe not a preference right now that I think?
But it will be.
But it will be if I follow the highest prompting inside of me that expands me. And look. This Michael Singer dude didn't know how to build. It wasn't a builder, wasn't a framer, wasn't anything. And on his property, he was led with another guy to build his own house. And he's like, I don't know how to swing a hammer. But he knew that inside something was calling him to it. This is why if you guys get a chance to listen to I Had It All Wrong About Callings, I talk in that teaching about how we have many callings, many things calling to us in the moment. Like for him, he was called to pick up a hammer. He felt our highest calling to pick up a hammer and to start just learning as he went to build. And then before he knew it, he was building his own house and he had no experience.
And the same with the computer stuff, programming.
Same with programming. And that's where he became, that has a $1 billion company now.
And God dropped the idea and opportunity in him. So he felt this compulsion. I need to start learning about digital programming. And it has never crossed his mind before, but this was the next season for him. Instead of him being locked in, this is who I am the rest of my life, is this guy out in the woods in my cabin, he was open for what God wanted to bring into the next season. And it's amazing. We see this with a lot of singers. Stars that it's for a time and season. Some are made to have it for a lifetime, with their singing careers. Others, God transitions them into the next phase of expansion of other things that he's placed inside them to start engaging in.
Production.
And if they don't follow that and they go back in trying to be what they used to be star and singer, it falls flat because the anointing's not there anymore. God's trying to get them to go into where the next flow of anointing is for them in this time in their life. Oh,
I can't tell you how many times it shifted for us.
Yeah, and if you don't, you're going to sound like a violin out of tune. Because said, you've learned the violin, you've mastered the violin, that was for that time. Now I've got a new instrument. Wait until you see what I've put in you for this.
That's the mini callings thing. What is calling to you now? Where's the favor? Where's the open door? And again, don't look at, oh my gosh, it's not what I wanted.
Career change.
Because you never know what's going to open up that leads to another leads to another when you take that step in that direction. So this is how we do it. We stop and we wait and we watch and we listen and we feel.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody that tells you to turn off your feelings,
oh my gosh,
is too embedded and ingrained in conditioning from the religious stuff. You know, I've heard teachings about this. You know, one thing about the ego when it starts getting disrupted and unearthed, so to speak, people will double down to defending it, their borders around their ego, meaning that religion is falling apart right now. If you have any awareness, any awakening about you, you know that religion amongst many institutional things are falling apart, like Amy mentioned. And so because that's happening, people want to defend it vehemently that are still caught in their egoic nature, saying, oh, this is the devil tearing it apart. No, sorry to tell you, but it's allowing to be fall apart. It's allowing to fall apart for a reason, so that we can enter into these realities that we desire anyway in the spirit now and in the eternal now. Anyway, when you double down and say that feelings aren't important, let me tell you, we've come to understand something that feelings are the most important.
Yeah, it's where your discernment is.
Yeah, it's the feeling. It's the feeling your way by the promptings and the leadings. So we've been given these beautiful things for a reason. The inner feeling, the inner prompt or the lead. How does it feel, light or heavy?
Yeah.
Does it feel peaceful?
Does it bring me joy?
Does it bring joy? Does joy bubble up or not? Do I feel a heaviness? They're crucial. They're crucial to life in the spirit. So anybody that tells you they're not, they don't know what they're talking about. They're still caught in ego.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that you're led by this mechanism, this compass, this GPS that of the emotional feeling. And I get what some people say about
spirit.
But don't just go off on a tangent of being led by your egoic emotions. Feelings and emotions. Of course, but when you're feeling with the spirit.
Yes.
The spirit emotion, in other words. Man, I tell you, that's the compass of all compasses, because it'll lead you right in down a path that you never dreamed of. And things are changing for Amy and I, where we thought it was ministry one way for years, because we were conditioned to believe that, just like you are in some ways, right? And when that starts to unravel because you're growing, you're like, whoa, wait a minute here. Let me reassess some things. And so the opinions of others, the advice of others that wants to keep you small without even realizing it sometimes.
Right.
Right? They're just doing it because they care.
Or they have good intentions.
Or they have a good intentions.
And it's not, all they know.
Yeah, it's not always evil here. We're talking about people that are trying to keep you small unintentionally or asleep, or some are awake and they do it because they're so caught in ego. Anyway, that stuff really doesn't have its hold anymore when you wake up and you realize, wait a minute here, I have my own GPS, God positioning system, that leads me and guides me into all truth. And that is not going to look like anybody else. So asking the waiter for advice, asking people for their opinion, really doesn't do any good. It may a little, if like Amy said, you're trying to get directions somewhere.
Right.
That kind of thing. But when you ask for the taste buds of a waiter to interject into your taste buds.
Right. Or is this movie good? Or is this?
Yeah. That's another one,
score.
Right?
Yeah. Gosh.
Hey, what's the best movie you've seen in a while? You know, and what,
you
what's
you go to watch and you're like, come again?
Okay. Yeah, and then it goes on and on, right? So anyway, we just wanted to share those things with you guys, and I hope that helps.
Keep practicing and building that confidence in every little thing throughout your day, and it just practice those leads and prompts, what's calling to you in the next moment. If you've got your to-do list, what feels the lightest, what gives you the most excitement on there? What is, instead of forcing yourself you know, to just, begrudgingly doing all these things throughout your day. Just be led, because it's going to keep you in a lot higher frequency and connection with the Lord, because you're going to be in a happy state, which is going to allow answers to come in and phone calls and connections that are going to make your path a lot lighter and a lot easier. So,
yep. All right. We'll leave it right there until the next one. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. We really appreciate it.
Yes. Please, we love all your feedback you guys leave us on YouTube and Facebook and different things too. It's great hearing from you guys. So
yeah. And if you feel led or prompted to share this, wonderful. But if you don't, then don't. Hey,
we're all good. All right. Love you all. All right. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.